Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is from Romans 3, 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the words of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as the sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to receive by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works. No, because the law that requires faith, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. Dear God, let us not only hear of you, but see you with our own eyes through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I, Martin Luther, have a lot of problems with this church. Let it be known, I have no desire to start a new religion. The Roman Catholic Church gets plenty of things right, but there are also a lot of unfaithful teachings and corruption that cause me great concern. I just want the church, its clergy and parishioners, to get back to the gospel. The Catholic Church needs to repent of its sins, end the exploitation of its parishioners, and reform its practices. I have chosen today, October 31st, the year of our Lord 1517, to post these 95 theses, propositions, if you will, on the door of Wittenberg Castle Church. I'll also be using Gutenberg's new invention, the printing press, to quickly copy and distribute my theses all over town. Who knows? Maybe even the Pope will read them. At the very least, tomorrow is All Saints' Day. I know everyone will be attending Mass and will be able to see my propositions there. And then we can all have a nice, cordial debate about my thoughts. Surely, they'll all see how wrong they are and make the appropriate adjustments. You see, one of my big issues is that it's come to my attention that priests, cardinals, bishops have been selling indulgences in exchange for forgiveness of sins. I hear that Pope Leo X is putting a lot of pressure on the clergy to raise money so he can finish building St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. In turn, clergy are scaring and intimidating the poor and uneducated by telling them that they have to pay to have their sins forgiven. Surely you've heard of Friar Johann Tetzel out on the square selling indulgences with his fanciful words, "As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs." This This, my friends, is how people are cajoled into buying worthless pieces of paper so as to be guaranteed a place in heaven, or to save their deceased loved ones from a millennia of purgatory. My people, this is a dangerous practice. Not only is it an abuse of God's people, but it is false doctrine. Yes, we are all flawed and sinful people. I, for one, am incredibly anti-Semitic and racist. I will never admit this in my lifetime, but trust me, 500 years from now, theologians will certainly criticize and try to invalidate me over it. Setting that aside, the point is that we cannot exchange earthly money or even good works for true repentance of sins. The practice of indulgences places us all in real danger of losing our souls in connection with God. You see, I've been in such despair at the state of my own soul, knowing that there is just never enough that I could ever do or be to please God, that I've delved into the scriptures. Now, I can do this because I have access to a lot of Bibles, and I'm literate in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, the languages in which the scriptures are written. This is another issue with the church, by the way. I think everyone should have access to the Word of God in their native tongues. Anyway, I've been really drawn to the epistles of Paul, especially the book of Romans. What I found in my studies, particularly in Romans 3, is so amazing. I just had to share it with you. The very first thing that we need to understand is that we are all sinners, each and every one of us. And there is absolutely nothing we can do about it. We are all accountable to God and can never, ever, ever earn God's love or forgiveness. Okay, Martin, but what if we follow every letter of the law? Could we be declared righteous by God then? Well, first of all, works of the law are not easy. I mean, sure, if we are righteous, works would be easy, but we're not. Works don't come naturally to us. Those who attempt to perform works as a way of fulfilling the law and thus think themselves righteous, they've completely missed the point. They don't realize or even hate the fact that they are a sinner. And because of that, they don't desire grace. And ultimately, no single person fulfills the law except Christ. How exactly is this good news? Well, your Sunday school answer is, it's Jesus Christ, of course. The faith of Christ justifies all of us before God. All who believe and profess a faith in God, regardless of race, citizenship, ethnicity, gender, denomination, social class, or political stance, are claimed and loved by God. We can't earn enough money to purchase our way out of sin. We can't justify ourselves out of sin. But God can, and did. God presented Christ as a sacrifice to be received by faith. when we have faith of God's demonstration of righteousness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are justified. I tend to get a bit wordy, so I know that's a lot of big words to describe a difficult concept. It's still so easy for us to see ourselves at the center of the story. So when we're asked why God undertook to save the world through the death of Jesus, we might answer, well, because God loves us. And that's true. The scripture I've been studying, though, speaks more about God's attribute of righteousness, not God's love. At the cross of Jesus, God's righteousness and love come together in a purposeful demonstration. Because God is righteous and just, sin must be punished. But God is also gracious and wants to forgive our sins. God has never been and never will be coerced or even need to justify us sinners. God did not and does not have to save us. God's righteous mercy and saving justice are a 100% free gift to each of us. The good news is that our righteous God is unwilling to let us fallen creatures be destroyed by our own sin. We can be assured of salvation is entirely based on Christ's works, not ours. So does this mean that works are unimportant, unappreciated, shunned by God? Heavens, no. We unrighteous and sinful human beings are just so overcome by awe, wonder, joy, and gratitude for the ways in which God embraces us and transforms us. We just can't help but to participate in the kingdom. It is in response to God's righteousness and our salvation that we participate in works of faith. I understand that taking this one simple stand and asking the church to rethink and reform their practices will take off. That many new religious denominations and traditions will spill from this one action and be known as the Protestants. I hear one of the mottos will be reformed and reforming. I think I like that. The church is meant to be grounding ourselves in Scripture, heeding the Spirit while listening to the voice of God and trusting in Jesus as we move forward in history. We can't grow content with the same stagnant people and places. This means that, well, we listen to new ideas and try new things. And I know that's scary. But we know that the love God has for us doesn't depend on perfection. It is, after all, by faith, not works, that we receive grace. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.